Welcome to another episode of the Photo Facts Podcast. I'm Jim Felder.
I'm Robert Trawick.
Hey!
I have no follow-up to that one.
I didn't.
Because you just completely, like, I was watching your lips move, and I just, I was, like, shocked.
That's just kind of how the week's been.
Has it been that kind of a week?
For me, yeah. It's kind of crazy.
It's been a little bit crazy for me, I'm not going to lie. It's, I feel that we're still in the coma, in the COVID coma.
Yeah.
So, I appreciate dinner tonight.
Hey, yeah, you're welcome. I was glad to do it because I love Tropical Smoothie Cafe.
Oh, Hank, stand by. This section brought to you by Tropical Smoothie Cafe. Come by and get your mango passion drink and enjoy life.
Wholesome, fresh, and flavorful.
Dun, dun, dun. Just like this podcast.
Oh, yeah.
So, rough week. Oklahoma.
Hot as
Hades.
Crazy. Hot as crazy, crazy.
I would say hot as Texas.
Yeah.
You think hot as Texas would be a good way of saying it?
Sure.
I'm going to turn myself up a little bit here. There we go.
I think we've lost a few people already. I'm just kidding.
Just because of the heat?
No, we haven't gotten anything going.
Going in like
what?
Like
right now, we're just like being and making up stuff. So let's move on.
Why should we move on? It works for Boo Ray and Gary. Boo Ray and Gary talk about nonsense all day long, and they like rock it.
You're exactly right, but they have good content. Okay, so anyway, Robert, how you feeling today?
Jim wants to get right to the content.
Yeah. What
do you want to do photography news like they do?
No.
Photography news.
I can't believe you did that.
Oh, my God. I just scrubbed through their episodes to see if they mention us as much as we mention them.
They don't, but they did in their recent.
Oh, did episode, they?
Yes.
The last one?
Yes, the last one.
Okay, I have to go listen to that.
Yeah, they're talking about Boo-Ray's all-time lengthy episode.
Yeah, he definitely rocked it.
Yeah, it was good, though. I loved it.
I thought it was great. I thought it was really good information. I was very happy with information. And just if they happen to listen, which I know they don't, I really did not know the difference between a bar mitzvah and a
bat mitzvah.
Yeah,
I didn't either. I mean, I've never been around.
But I wanted to look up on Wikipedia: is bot,
bat? Is it bat or bot?
Well, or because you have a bar mitzvah and a bat mitzvah.
I know. Yeah.
So in the Jewish language, is bat male and bar female? Like, is that how it goes?
No, bat's female.
Bat female.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Just curious. Awesome. All right. That's 3 minutes of nothing.
I think. So okay, well. Our guest is patiently waiting.
She is. So we're going to like unmute her and you can introduce her.
Okay.
Now?
No, not yet.
Not yet? Okay. I'm not going to. Okay.
I'm trying to remember the business name.
You know.
Hold on.
We're going to unmute
I know
this,
what her website is.
And she's not going to be
there. GoBizConcepts.com or GoBiz.com.
No, that's not a website.
Yeah, it is.
No, that's not what she sent me.
Yes, it is.
No.
I sent it to you.
You sent it to me?
Yeah.
All right.
So.
It's a funny thing because Rhonda's probably talking like crazy. I wish we had like a room that we could monitor her channel.
She's like going.
Oh, wait a minute. She's going. Her channel?
Oh, my God. What have I done? Now, let's see. I can't believe. It's blank. I'm going.
Are you blank?
Getting old. I have to know this.
All right. Well, he's looking this up let our listeners know. July is the money month. So we're going to be talking about pricing, taxes, Facebook and Instagram adverts. So next week, we're going to talk to someone about pricing.
Oh, yeah.
But today, we're going to talk about money matters with. I'm going to unmute her now.
Okay. With.
Okay. I'm unmuting her.
With Rhonda Thomas. Rhonda Thomas with National Business Concepts. GoBizConcepts.com. Yes, we're doing great. Rhonda, how are you doing?
Doing fantabulous. Thank you.
Awesome.
And she didn't hang up on us, which
I
is
know.
Awesome.
Yeah. She probably fell asleep.
Now what is what's your website for sure? Just because Jim just can't pull it up.
No, it's right there. So
it's GoBizConcepts.com. GoBizConcept.com.
Like biz, like B-I-Z.
Correct.
Correct.
Okay. I thought it would be something clever like Go Rhonda Go.
No, I think that's pretty clever. GoBizConcept is good.
GoBizConcept?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
We should talk about SEO.
No.
Well, we can talk about a lot of things. So yeah, let's talk about that. Yeah.
You know, let's talk about money.
Let's talk about money.
Why are we having a coin shortage in America right now?
A what kind of shortage?
A coin shortage. Have you heard about the coin shortage with the COVID?
I haven't heard about the coin shortage, but I would imagine that people just don't want to touch stuff.
Yeah.
You know? People are probably a little bit nervous. They're not transacting as much with coins, maybe. I don't know. It doesn't sound logical to me.
It does not sound logical at all. But now businesses like OnQ are asking for coins. Like they said, yeah, if you give us a roll of quarters in exchange for $10, you know, if you exchange, you know, your coin for paper money, we will give you a free soda pop. Or a free slushie.
I haven't heard that. That's crazy.
And it's on the news. It's like some shortage of coins.
Yeah, you know, I haven't heard that, but I could see people are using plastic more.
Oh, I agree.
I
think using plastic would be safer. It's electronic. Well, it's easy to transfer.
Or your phone.
Or your phone. You don't have to worry about that.
Yeah.
But Rhonda's going to teach us some money matters.
Yeah.
So, like new entrepreneurs, let's say we have new people just starting a business. What could be some of the things they would look at when it comes to money and trying to be profitable?
So, what I usually do with my clients, like when I have someone come to me and says, "I'm starting a business," what kind of entity? That's one of the first things they'll say. And generally, or typically, someone would say, "Well, my cousin next door has an LLC," or my uncle told me I should start an LLC. That's the first thing that comes out of people's mouths. But when someone is starting a business, one of the first things I ask is, what's the plan? You know, it's one thing to say I've got the skill or I've got this gift and I'm going to start a business or try to monetize whatever skill I've got. But you always have to be looking at the end in mind. So what is that end goal, or what is what I would say in the business world, what is your exit strategy? And you're asking that question because you want to find out from that individual if they've thought that far ahead. Am I going to work for the rest of my life? Am I going to do this business for the rest of my life? What's the plan? The plan could be, well, I want to make X amount of dollars and I want to invest it in the stock market or invested in precious metals or invested in oil and gas or some other form of investment. Or you might say real estate, which is another option for investment. Or you might say, well, no, I want to build this business up and I want to pass it on to my kids. Or you might say, I want to build this business up and I want to sell it. So the question, first of all, I ask people is to think ahead. What is the exit strategy? What is the reason you're starting this business? Some people should really just do their skill or their hobby as a hobby. Some people should not be in business. So that first question then would be backed up with, okay, so this is your exit strategy. Then what do we need to do to map out or to plan to get to that goal? So those are some of the things I would ask initially if someone is starting or thinking or considering starting a new business. The next thing I would do, if someone is crazy enough to say they're going to go start a business, is start prompting them or asking the questions about all the expenses, all of the overhead items that they're going to have to actually not just start up, but to conduct business. So let's say, for example, I am going to go start a photography business. Well, am I going to start a photography business or am I just going to be do photography as a hobby because I love doing it. So if you're doing photography as a hobby, every once in a while I go out, I do it. You know, if I feel like it, when I feel like it, I go do it. And occasionally somebody would give me some money. That's great for a hobby. But if you're doing a business, you have to be thinking, okay, am I doing this full-time? Am I doing it part-time, ramping it up to make it full-time? How much money do I need to make in a given month to survive from month to month? I'm just talking about surviving, not necessarily even making a profit yet, right? What does that look like? You know, $2,000, $3,000, $5,000, $10,000 a month, all right? Then you have some other factors you got to start thinking about. How am I going to get clients? How am I going to market? How much money do I need for startup? You make your whole long list of what those startup items are going to be. What does that look like? Well, I've got to have a camera if I'm going to be a photographer, a good one. What else do you have to have? Maybe a computer. Maybe there's some other items. What else would you guys have to have, Jim and Robert?
A tripod, a...
Oh, there's a lot of equipment that can go involved in that.
Oh, yeah, flash, lighting, triggers, wireless. You don't have to go wireless, but that's kind of what's out there. There's a lot. Lenses, I mean, you want at least two.
Software, insurance, yeah. Checking account, sales tax ID.
So you make that list of items, and then the next question is going to be, where is that startup capital coming from? Am I going to go take out a loan? Am I going to borrow from mom and dad or cousin or uncle, someone who's rich, got some money? Or maybe I already have that money saved up. So these are factors that you're going to have to look at before you actually even begin the business. What is going to be my startup cost?
Okay. Sorry, we got distracted by a noise in the background.
Yeah, it's all good. It's all good. So that brings a really good point because, you know, you brought the thing about having a hobby or being a full-time photographer. And one of the biggest questions that we have that we get asked a lot is, you know, let's say you're a 9-to-5er, okay? Mm-hmm. You have a job at X company and you do photography on the side as a hobby, and then it kind of grows and you sit there and think to yourself, man, I could make money from my photography and quit my day job and just do this full time. What, as a financial person, would you suggest that person look like? What is the break-even point where that person can say, yeah, I can do this, or, you know, I've made so much income, you know, is it a third of your income, a half of your income, or replace your income before you make that transition to full-time in a business?
Well, I would recommend two things. First of all, I would recommend that you have a little bit of a cushion, anywhere from 3 to 6 months before you ever take a leap. And then secondly, you really need to have that part-time or side gig making at least 3/4 of your compensation. Now, let's define that word compensation.
Oh, let's do that.
Yeah, let's define that word compensation. Now, let's say you're working for, let's say you're in the military, or maybe you're working for the government. Let's just give that an example. And let's say you make $4,000 a month. Well, we know that's not realistic, but let's just say you are. So $4,000 a month is your salary, plus probably health insurance, possibly life insurance, possibly disability, right?
Right,
you've got
to
put all those things in, plus your employer is also paying a portion of what we call self-employment taxes. So you have to figure all those numbers into that quote-unquote compensation amount or that monthly compensation before you make a decision to move out of your job or to move into full-time quote-unquote business. Got to have a cushion, first of all, of 3 to 6 months of compensation set aside. So that includes not just the financial portion of what you're taking home, but also the other benefits that you may have at your job You want to be able to at least cover that, especially if you have a family with kids, right? That is definitely a priority.
Right. So not just don't just look at the pay stub that you're bringing home and think,
no,
I can make $500 a week in photography and be fine because I want to quit. Yeah. Then you quit. They say, oh, well, we got to have the company car back that you've been driving for 3 years. And now you have to go out and buy a car to replace that because you don't have that option. So you have to look at those other benefits that you're getting with your company that may not be seen immediately. You're going to have to do some research and figure out what that number is going to be.
Absolutely. A lot of major companies are actually paying the majority of health insurance benefits and other insurance type benefits. And you really have to look at that. You also need to be looking at contributions to retirement accounts. So they may have a 401k or some similar type retirement account that your company is putting in a portion in as well. So you have to look at all of these factors, especially, once again, like I said before, if you have a family, because it just takes one kid getting sick for a week and having to go to the doctor to make you realize that that quote-unquote net amount of money you were making at your job does not cover all of those insurance or medical expenses that you're going to have to come out of pocket.
Yeah, I would just say, I want to remind people that 20% of your business is your photography. You're going to be having fun, you know, shooting, but then the 80% is all the other stuff that doesn't even... It doesn't even mean you're picking up a camera. It's other
right, stuff. Right, absolutely. You know, you want to go into photography because it's what you love. You know, photography or any other business. You know, painting, woodworking, whatever the case may be, because you enjoy doing that and you want to make it a living. Because, hey, if I'm doing something I enjoy, then I'm not really working. And then as soon as you make that transition to be a business,
it's a shocker.
Yeah, you're only doing 20% of what you love and 80% of marketing, finances, and everything else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But is it worth it? It is to me right now. There's been times where I'm like, God, I should just get a day job, you know, because of all the taxes and all that. But, you know, it's hard to go down that road when you've been doing it for 8 years full time and, you know, I don't want to get it. I love my freedom. I love my flexibility.
Yeah. So there's pluses and minuses, right?
Yeah.
And again, it just depends on what your goal is. Some people cannot operate a business. In other words, they're not destined to run a business. They're just destined to work for someone else. And there's nothing wrong with that. We have to have all kinds, right?
Yeah, so, somebody's got to make the fries. Not everybody can run the cash register, but somebody's got to be back in the back dunking those fries.
It takes the whole team.
It does.
To make it happen. And in reality, if you're ever looking at expanding from just yourself, which hopefully if you're in business, you're thinking about that, then you really have to have team members, other people who are willing to just get the job done in the background. Here's another thing that you have to consider when you're getting ready to start a business. There's a whole regulatory world in the background that is trying to snuff out your business. And the more info, and I'm not saying that they're intentionally trying to snuff out your business, but in reality, there's all of these regulations surrounding business, right? If you're in the manufacturing business, there's all kinds of policies and regulations and laws that, you know, that require you to dispose of products a certain way or to clean a certain way if you're in the restaurant business or for health sake. So there are certain requirements that are required by every business. Then there's the tax regulatory side of it. Then you have your licensing regulatory side of it. So all of these things, you have to be aware of what is required in your state, in your city, in your locality, what is required for you to be able to operate as a business. So not only do you have the expense of your startup, you also have the expense of getting yourself on the right side of the regulations of your locality of or of your state or of your federal government. So you have to remember that you've got to somehow create a little portion of your budget for education, education about business and education about the regulatory type things, because you could be singing along, making $1 million a year, and the regulatory side of your business would shut you down. Hmm. So if you're not careful about keeping up with that. So
I know that it's important to have, like, when you start making $1 million, you start taking those and moving them to offshore bank accounts, right?
Ross, I think you've been watching too much TV.
I've been watching that Ozarks thing on TV with the money laundering, and maybe, like, after the show, you can explain to me how that works. Because you already have cash. You already have money. Why are you I don't understand money laundering. I think that was invented because somebody wants to take a piece of the pie.
Listen, that is so hot right now. That word money laundering is just really... Just moving cash back and forth has been interesting to watch. Even now, even for $100, trying to go put I remember trying to put a couple $100 in my son's bank account when he was overseas. It wasn't my bank account, and they wouldn't let me do it. I had to go in, show ID, pull it out of my credit card or my debit card in order for them to transact cash. So that's another whole aspect by itself.
Wow.
That's crazy.
A lot of businesses use their front as a way to launder money. Mm-hmm. But we're not going to get down that road.
No. Yeah. Okay, so we've gone down our track. We figured out how much money we need to get this thing started. Yeah, we take out a loan. We borrow it from my parents. Or, you know, you get it from your personal savings to get this thing going. You know, you've gone through your taxes. You got everything going. And then... man, you go out and you get your first wedding. First wedding comes of your brand new business, and the client pays you $3,000. So I can take that $3,000 and go spend it, right? Because that's mine. Right? I can go buy me a new computer, a new camera, a new lens. I mean, I can burn right through that $3,000, because that's the money I just made in my business, right?
It's my money.
It's my money.
So what do you say to that, Rhonda?
Well, sure. I mean, that is one way to do it. the way I coach my clients, under the profit first philosophy.
You said profit first? Yeah.
Profit first.
Mm-hmm.
So our goal is that you focus on making a profit and literally helping yourself in your business to become more disciplined in how you spend your money, expend your money, so that you can continue in business. So, for example, if I went out and I made $3,000 and I came back and I spent all $3,000 of it, let's just say I was in the barbecue food business. Well, if I don't buy inventory for the next deal or for the next gig or the next event, and I've spent all the money I just made, well, guess what? I'm basically out of business.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, so I don't get to keep the $3,000? I got to put some of it back for, like, business expenses?
Yeah. So what we do is we look at your overall picture. And we are going to divide that money that came in into four pieces. One is going to be your business expenses, what we call operating expenses. One is going to be the owner's compensation. So we come up with a percentage of that money coming in that would be used to pay you as your income or your salary, so you could pay your own personal bills. The next is going to be our profit. We come up with a small percentage that we start putting aside so that money is now able to create more money. That's what the profit account is able to do. And then, of course, you've got to just thank Uncle Sam, because you've got to set aside his money. And that other account is going to be your tax account. We would have a fifth account set up if you had employees or contractors that you have to pay for services that they have rendered. Guess what? Telling an employee that you don't have money to pay them after they've worked is not a good business strategy. You've got to set aside that money so that you're not embarrassed or basically getting yourself out of business, really, closing down your business by not paying your employees. That could be very, very painful. So you want to set aside or divvy up that money that comes in so that you're able to handle all of the expenses that are related to your business, including paying yourself.
Now, hang on a second, Rhonda. I just made $3,000 on a wedding, and you just divided that stuff up into four parts. I mean, obviously at different percentages, but I'm kind of not seeing the benefit here of making, like, working for myself as a business. Like, you just took some of the fun out of it. I thought I was going to be making money and, like, buying new equipment every day.
No. I mean, you know, you could do it that way. Once again, it just depends on how long you want to be in business, right?
Oh, so this is the smart plan to be in business for a long term.
Well, long term, and also to be able to expand and grow your business. If you want to dwindle and shrink away as a business, then why bother to go through all the trouble?
Yeah. I like that. And you know I'm being the sarcastic guy here, right?
Sure you are.
Okay, good. That's my nature.
Sure you are. But if you get yourself into this discipline at $3,000 level, you would have the same discipline at the $30,000 a month level or the $300,000 a month level. All it is just creating those habits and the discipline necessary to be successful at any level.
I'm glad that you have confidence in me like that, because I think I could do this at the $3,000 level. At the $30,000 level, you know, at the end of the year or, you know, quarter, $30,000, I can put the money back. But I'm telling you right now, if it's at the $300,000 level, yeah, I'm going to be naked on the beach, sipping margaritas and telling the IRS to come find me if they can.
Oh, that's the life right there.
You know what's so funny about that whole thing, Robert?
Yes.
You could be just as broke at $300,000 a month as you can be at $30,000 a month.
Ain't that the truth? Because it ain't what you make, it's what you spend.
It is what you're able to keep that would make you successful. So people are broke and haggard at $300,000 a month, just as broke and haggard as somebody who could be at $30,000 a month. The important thing is, are you making a profit, right? And you can make the same profit at $100,000 a month as you could possibly at $300,000 a month. Again, it just depends on how you discipline yourself in your business to manage those expenses, manage the revenue that's coming in, and not going crazy, okay, I made $3,000, I'm going to go buy a $2,000 camera every month. I mean, you know, you can't survive in a business doing that.
You know, and honestly, and that happens more often than not, and I'm sure you see it in different businesses other than photographers, that people, when they see the fat checking account, they're like, oh, I can afford to go out and, you know, buy some big mudder tires for my truck and this and that. And then a downturn happens in the economy, like COVID hit, you know, the COVID coma. And then all of a sudden, man, I don't have any money to live on.
Right.
But I got some nice tires on my truck.
Yeah, you know, I'm not selling them if anybody's going to buy them at this point. Yeah, it's really all about discipline. And if you discipline yourself at one level, you'll be disciplined at another level as you begin to either grow, hopefully you're expanding. The other thing, too, I was going to say is that, and this has happened to a lot of our businesses coming into the COVID shutdown. A lot of people had to rethink how they do business. And I will say this, it's the business owner or the person who is able to think outside the box that is going to be able to survive in this environment. And I will say this, if you're starting a business right now in the middle of this pandemic, you are guaranteed, if you put the discipline in, you are guaranteed to be successful. This is the toughest time to start a business. If you're able to survive in this environment, you're going to be able to survive in any environment. Think about it.
Yeah.
Because you would have already kind of, you would have already eliminated all the objections, well, what ifs, to be able to even start and to sustain a business in the middle of the COVID-19.
Right. This has definitely been a challenging time for, I think, everybody. You know, it's made a lot of photographers look at the real estate market as a photographer as a way to make sure. money, since that one stayed open during COVID.
Sure.
So it's definitely a lot of people that I have talked to before that are wedding photographers, full-time wedding photographers, I've had coffee and they've said, yeah, I'm going to branch out into the real estate market because they stayed open during COVID and all the wedding venues shut down.
I wonder if that was just in Oklahoma, though.
No, that was everywhere.
That was everywhere.
That was everywhere. Yeah. Most of your governors have their fingers in some kind of either mortgage broker or real estate stuff, so they want to keep that stuff open. Which, think about it, doesn't make a lot of sense. Anything like that happens where they're trying to keep a business open, it's because somebody's got their fingers in it and they're high up on the totem pole of the regulatory system.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you're in COVID and everything is shut down and you're going to move and show a house and go visit and, like, pick your stuff up and move, that doesn't make a lot of sense. That seems unsafe to me when they're telling everybody to stay home. Like, stay home, don't go out. But our real estate market is a-okay.
Yeah.
I was a little bit surprised about that, too. But, you know, that's the way it works.
Yes, but you know, all joking aside, you know, that market stayed open. And of course, there was a lot of first responder type associated businesses. There was a lot of health and medical businesses that had to stay open to support the hospitals and first responders. So those people that are in those kind of business, I have a friend of mine that runs a medical equipment business. And he never slowed down.
No.
He said, in fact, it got worse. He said they ran out of equipment. They were trying to find equipment in other states.
Yeah. Well, construction also stayed open.
Right. Absolutely.
So going. And, you know, a lot of financial institutions and insurance companies, a lot of them had to stay home. But I'm telling you, I know of several accountants as well that literally had to lay off a whole slew of their staff. Know of one gal that literally had to shut her doors and go back to work full time. So, it's interesting, a lot of industries that are being impacted in this COVID-19 scenario. But again, even in the whole, you're talking about photographers now all rushing to, you know, the real estate market. Think about that being saturated.
Mm-hmm.
What else can you do? You know, what else can you do outside the norm, right?
Probably product. I mean, product photography could.
Right, product photography because you're not moving. But if that company can't move their products because of COVID. But you're right. I mean, we have to think outside the box. And I think that we had a guest on the show recently, actually Gary Hughes, mm-hmm. was talking about just in business, as a business owner, you need to be prepared that every 7 to 10 years, something will happen. Either economically, with a terrorist attack, some kind of pandemic, something's going to happen that is going to make you reset what your business looks like and how you're doing business.
Yeah.
Your business will die.
I like what Jim just said about the product market, because think about it. Everything has to either now go digital, right, online.
Correct, yes.
Virtual. So you're looking at photography and video being, like, I think the number one aspect of business going forward. Think about it.
Yeah.
Right? If we're in this kind of a mode for the next year, everything is going online. Everything.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I wish I would have invested money in Zoom before we got started. I had no idea that was going to take off.
Well, so that's the reason you have to think outside the box.
I know.
Zoom, right now, quote unquote, is the big thing.
Right.
Well, what else? What are the things that need to support Zoom?
Computers, internet.
Yeah.
Internet infrastructure.
Or your phone. You can do it on your phone, your iPad.
Your phone, iPad. I mean, so there's a lot of different things.
Earphones, you know.
So well, I see a huge market for photography. Like what Jim just said, product. Mm-hmm. I see a huge market for electronic music. I see a huge market for videographers. All I see in this arena is opportunity.
Mm.
Right? People might say, oh my gosh, we're going to starve doing this. Well, depends on how you look at it.
But
Right? You're going to starve if you don't realize that this is the way everything's going.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it's going to be a big change. Okay, so let's say we got our four accounts. Let's say we're doing a sole proprietor LLC or
you need five accounts really.
Well, she said
you need the income account that it comes into, and then the other.
Okay, four. Okay, because I'm writing it down, and I got four accounts here plus one if you have employees.
Well, you need your income account though.
So you're going to have an income account. I didn't mention that.
Okay, let's talk about it. So you have your income account where everything comes in. So that's mm-hmm. the one where all your invoices come in. And then once they come in, as a business owner, do you have some general numbers? I mean, like I've heard before that, if you're a business that works from home, your cost of goods should be, 30% or lower. Because you don't have the overhead that you have of having an office and location, that kind of stuff. I've heard that mentioned before. I don't know how true that is.
Depends on how much money you make. Rhonda, can I share?
Yeah.
Can I share these percentages?
Yeah.
Okay. So
you share, Pete.
Okay. So if you're making zero to $250,000, up to $250,000.
Okay.
Here's what you want to do. So your income. Okay, you got your income. So your profit account would be 5% of that. 5% of your lump that you have in your income account. Like, let's say you do it once every 2 weeks or once a month or whatever. So it'd be 5% would go to profit. 50% would go to owner's pay. 15% to tax. And 30% to operating expenses. Now, those can be adjusted according to,
Rhonda
can say.
So that's 30% on expenses if you live at home. And the reason I'm saying it,
50%.
50%?
Uh-huh.
So your cost of goods is 50%?
Yeah, it says owner's. That's if you make. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
50% was the owner's pay, he said.
Yeah, owner's pay.
So that's the owner's pay. So let's look at a dollar. So I shoot a job for a dollar, okay? And some of the things I have read, they talk about your overall expenditure of a healthy business is to try and keep your cost of goods, cost of goods or cost of operating at 30% or less. And the cost of operating and cost of goods would be the combination of your insurance, what you need to work on, your equipment plan to buy new equipment, your monthly fees for websites, membership
your
dues,
expenses, your insurance, yes, things
correct.
Like that.
And mm-hmm. then, once you take off the 30% of that, because that's going to fluctuate depending on your month, if you have bad days or whatever, but that money shouldn't have anything to do with how much money you're taking in, because you're trying to maintain your cost of goods around 30%. But a 50% distribution means that for every dollar I'm making, I'm going to put 50 cents in my pocket. That to me, I mean, I'd love to do that, because I think if I did that, though, that would really hurt the bottom line of the expenses that I have to maintain in my business. What my nut is every month to try and maintain.
So, Robert, here's the thing.
Yes.
So that those percentages are going to look very different if it is a manufacturing type company versus a service related company.
Okay.
So in the arena, like what I do, I provide a service.
Correct.
So a lot of my expenses are basic things. There aren't a whole lot of operating, quote unquote, operating expenses versus someone who has got rent and money tied up in inventory and employees and things like that. So then that percentage for owner's compensation is going to be significantly reduced. So it just depends on the business. No one business is going to look exactly alike. And what Jim had just said about those percentages, those were basically suggested numbers. Every business is going to look very different.
Well, is this chart that Jim has, this something we could share?
Well, we can send them to the Profit First website. And,
yeah.
Okay. Make sure I get that link, because I think our readers would be interested, our listeners would be interested in seeing that.
Yeah, they have a lot of resources at the website, but I think there's a book.
I like this idea. I mean, I actually talked to Jim about this recently. You know, we have an account where the majority of the money comes into our income account, and then it gets transferred out because I've already like preset up my tax. I pull a little bit of money out. We don't put 10% or 15% of that income that goes into an account that, you know, computer replacements every 3 years, camera equipment, blah, blah. You know, so there's a lot of different things. And then, of course, the unknown factors where it is like my wife drops a new lens on Saturday, and then I turn around and drop my lens on Friday, and then Tuesday we're having to spend $3,000 on new lenses.
Oh, wow.
And that actually happened. So that account kind of helped, you know, having that money in there. But I like how you have the owner distribution, and then your profit is pulling out, and then, of course, your taxes are separate. Now, do you recommend having these as actual separate accounts? Or if someone was, and I'm not that person, I'm just telling you, but if someone was, you know, disciplined enough, could they just run this on a spreadsheet out of their income account? Or would you highly recommend having different separate accounts?
I highly recommend having separate accounts. Highly recommend. I do the very said thing, right? Mm-hmm. On a monthly basis or bi-weekly basis. When I run payroll, I literally have my money go to those separate accounts. So I'm able to handle my taxes. I'm able to handle my investment. And honestly, I may address that account once every 2 to 3 months. Out of sight, out of mind. I don't have an online access to my tax account. I don't have online access to my profit account. Those are things that I have to be really intentional about doing every 2 to 3 months, every quarter at least, in terms of where is my next investment going to be. Okay, now it's time for me to pay my quarterly taxes. Those are the things that I'm addressing. By literally separating that money out, I know I cannot touch this in case my lens breaks and my wife drops hers. I can't touch my tax account because it is for taxes.
Right, because it's technically not your money.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's right. That's all.
Why are you smiling so big, Jim?
Oh,
you
got smiling big. I'm smiling because I know that there's been times in this career of mine that since I learned this method, you know, when you're not making a lot of money.
Oh no, no,
it's hard to pay your bills and still maintain that. But it's, you know, once you start making more money, it's a lot easier. And even if you make $150, you know, distribute it accordingly. You know,
yeah.
But you know, the ideal thing would be to every 2 weeks.
Now, is there any software that can do this for you automatically, or is this something that has to be done manually?
Manually.
I mean, I imagine that this would be like it would be very hard software
now,
to do this.
My bank will let you schedule external transfers,
but for a certain amount.
Any amount.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying, but you don't know what that amount is. I was saying, like, if it would do it automatically. Like, if
you know what that amount is. You can set it. Yeah, you can set it.
I'm talking about a percentage. Like, could you set up to where, okay, I want 20% to go to this account. I want and that way, when it comes into your income account, it automatically goes to your accounts according to a percentage of the income
that
coming in.
That would be nice.
All right. If anybody out there has an app, that would be really awesome.
Or you can hire a CPA to do it for you.
Well, wait a minute. So let's talk about this. So let's talk about, because you've hired Wanda.
No, I haven't. She doesn't do that currently. But
she doesn't do that currently.
Kind of a little hint.
Oh, so you're doing that yourself, but you want her to do it for you.
No. I like having control.
Now, what?
Because I can do it when I want, because sometimes these bills are, you know, you kind of have to float them sometimes, you know? You know what I'm talking about? When the money's not right at that week.
See, and here's the difference between you and I. I have my wife's extra income, and I have my retirement paycheck. And I have my VA disability. So I have some cushion. I have cushion.
Yes.
So my business just has to run the business and provide me my little bit of profit margin, my honors distribution, which, you know, brings up to an interesting thing for the people that are in a similar situation as mine is, and you tell me what you think about this, Rhonda. I have in my business, I have an account that isn't an account. Okay. It's in my financial software and it's called Petty Cash. And that petty cash account is always negative. And the petty cash account is whenever I run into big expenses or I'm cash poor, I will take money from my personal and put it into my business, and I will mark it in the ledger of my petty cash. And then at the end of the year, my CPA calls me up and says, hey, you know, we need to dump like $6,000 and it'll put you in a different tax bracket. Then I can look at the petty cash, because that's technically like a loan from my personal, and then I can take profit out of my business and pay back the personal through that account to bring that account back up to zero or less than whatever. And that's how I can balance out my tax liability. But you can't do that, Jim, because you don't have that extra income. So on yours, you're having to play around in these accounts if you run into...
Yeah.
An unknown factor,
right?
Or a slow time or something like that.
Yep.
So I'm curious about the profit, the 5% profit, Rhonda.
So what that is, it's basically setting aside, paying yourself first, whether it's 5% or 10%, and it just depends on where you are business-wise.
Right.
You set aside 5 to 10%, and that money is used to create more money. You're basically using that money for other forms of investment to create more cash, to create a growth in your cash flow.
Okay, hang on. Just while I make sure I understand. So the owner distribution, let's say that's like you're paying yourself so that you can pay your personal bills.
Yeah, you're paying your salary, right.
Yeah, you're paying your salary so that I think a lot of people fail to understand that when you operate a business, there's a certain curtain that you have to not cross between your personal finances and your business finances. They shouldn't coexist in one account.
Right.
Am I correct on that, right?
Mm-hmm.
That is exactly correct. Not only should it not coexist in one account, you really have to mentally work on separating your business activities from your personal. So when we have an owner's compensation account, that account is used to hold money to pay you on a consistent basis, right?
Right,
that
right.
Money put in there is used to pay. In other words, let's just say in the regular world, I was getting paid every 2 weeks. So you've determined in your business that you're going to pay yourself, write yourself a paycheck, every 2 weeks. That's what the owner's compensation account is for.
Ah.
It holds that. If you had an employee compensation account, what you'd be doing is putting that money in there so that when payday comes, you have that money in that account to pay the employees. is the same concept.
And it's, right. And it's good for your accountant, too, and for, like, a tax time or whatever, to have all that stuff.
It makes it very clean.
I like that. And then the profit that you're putting back a 5, 10%, whatever you deem that you want to have as a profit margin of your company, that account is an inbound account only, basically. So you're not really pulling money out of that for your business. You're using that income that you're creating in there, that you're using that money to find alternative ways out of the box for that amount of money to create more money.
Exactly.
Now, exactly. Does that mean like mutual funds or IRA or bonds?
No, because I think that would be under the owner. That would be under your personal thing, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Okay. So go ahead, Rhonda.
Go ahead, Rhonda. I'm sorry.
What I was going to say was, what you're trying to do is create another form or another source of income by using that money in that profit account. Think about it for a minute. When you have a regular JOB, you're able to invest into an IRA or some kind of a retirement account.
Correct.
Right?
Yes. That's supplemented by the company most of the times.
Sometimes.
Yes.
But that's one form of investment.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a gajillion other ways that you can invest money. You can invest money into real estate. You can do oil and gas. You can do precious metals. You can do other business ventures. So just be thinking outside the box when you get ready to. I have some clients that use that money strictly for stock market investment because that's all they want to do. That's all they know to do, which is fine. I have some that do strictly precious metals. That is all they do. I have a few that do Bitcoin. I have some that do a variety of things. I've got one gal right now, they're getting ready to buy an investment property. But what they've done is they've set aside that money over the month, and now they're taking the accumulation of it and making that big investment into this property that they're getting ready to buy.
So, Rhonda, is that considered still part of your business?
It is.
Okay. So it's not going to fall under your – yeah. So the investment would be, but – like the stock market, is that going to be invested from your business, under your business name?
It's going to be invested from that account.
Right, but I mean, as far as Big Brother, what does Big Brother see it as? Does he see it as part of your business or your personal?
So that is a very technical question without a straight answer. It depends.
Okay.
Right? So it depends on what kind of entity you have, how you're structured, right?
Right.
So if, for example, like I have some clients that have, they, you know, they had an LLC and then we took the election for an S corporation, right?
Right.
So all of their investments that they're making now are going to be deductible. Any kind of health insurance or any of that, those kind of things that they're paying on long-term disability, some of those things are actually going to be deductible under their business. So that's the reason why I said it depends. So it depends on how you're structured as an entity.
Right, because if you're a limited liability corporation, you're just having a corporate veil between a sole proprietor and an S corp. So you're still ultimately liable for everything. Where an S corp, the S corp is maintaining the veil and paying the taxes, and as a person, you're just having to worry about your distribution taxes on your personal side. So the investment in that profit, since it would fall under the S corp, I'm an S corp. So as an S corp, that profit, if I invested any stock gains or losses, would be on my capital gains report of the company, not my personal one.
It would be under the company and not the personal
and
impact.
Not the personal.
That is correct.
Correct. But since I'm the shareholder, the stockholder, you know, if I sold my company, Traywick Images, that would be listed as a asset that I could take control over.
No, say that again. I'm sorry.
No, because you know, it's as an S corp, I'm still the majority shareholder of the corporation. So if I sold my business – those capital gains that would be into that profit account would still be an asset for me as an individual, as a stockholder. I could still do a distribution.
It depends on how it's set up in your business.
Right, how it's set up in the charter. I do like the little profit thing completely separate, because I think that a lot of people consider whatever you pull out to be your profit, and that's not really your profit. That's just the money you're pulling out so you can pay your bills to continue to live.
Because that's your compensation. That's your paycheck.
Right, that's your paycheck for the hours you're investing in to the company that you run that you're technically an employee of.
Correct. Now, here's the other thing, too, that you have to remember, especially for those of you who are self-employed. You have to remember that if you don't compensate yourself, yes, I realize that there may be a season where you're not taking money out to pay yourself. Very short season. But if you don't compensate yourself, especially if you've got a wife and kids, you might as well just kiss life goodbye. Because you got to pay your bills, right? You got to feed your kids. You got to feed your family.
Well, you should feed them.
Well, you should. Even if you start off with a small level of compensation and increase that as time goes on, you have to back yourself into a corner to begin to discipline yourself to pay yourself.
Right. It's funny. You don't discipline yourself until you hit rock bottom.
Yeah.
Once you hit rock bottom and you have no choice, then that's when most people make the choice to be better. But while the money's flowing in and out, everybody's happy like gangbusters putting photos of their new lenses and their new cameras on Instagram.
Yeah, I was pretty deep down,
all the way down to the bottom of the head.
Bottom. Yeah, I was at the bottom with scratch marks on the wall, and I called Rhonda.
And Rhonda helped you out.
Yeah.
Well, Ron, I think this has been a really good informational podcast that can give some great meat for some the young entrepreneurs out there.
So, I know that numbers are boring sometimes, but if you snoozed off, like if you fell asleep in midway, go back and listen to it, because there's some quality stuff in there for you to know.
I think the biggest thing that Ron is talking about, you know, and the reason that we need people like Rhonda is because, as a business owner, as a business person, I don't even think I'm a business person. As a business owner, as someone trying to have a business, you know, we have a lot of stuff on our plate, and we're not always that great about it. Like, how many times have you heard this before? I bet you Rhonda's heard this before. I know Jim has. Like, I'll have a consultation for a wedding, and I was like, well, hey, the bill's $3,100 or whatever the case may be. And they'll say, so would you take $2,500 cash for it? Like, no.
Yeah.
No, because I have to pay taxes. Because if I take that cash, and so many people are like, well, it's just cash. They gave me cash. Nobody can track this. Yeah. You know, that at the end of the quarter, you're not showing that you're making any money.
Yeah.
And the government's going to come calling like, hey, you didn't pay your sales tax report. Why didn't make any money? Oh, you went the whole quarter and didn't make any money at all? Yeah, so I get that a lot.
Here's the other thing, too, that people are regretting at this stage in the game. So I cannot tell you how many people have called me who are, quote, unquote, in business, never filed it on their tax return.
Oh.
Hey, this is bad. Right? But now they're trying to do PPP money, or they're trying to do ESPL or whatever. Well, can't help you. You got nothing.
Yeah, you got
nothing. You're not a legitimate business.
Yeah, you didn't want to play by the rules before, and now that there's money available to help people that did, now you want a piece of that too.
Exactly.
So the answer is no. No, you can't have. Do you laugh inside a little bit? I mean, do you get a little bit of joy out? Because I would. I would be very joyful and smiling, saying, I'm sorry. You haven't been operating as a business, so no.
Well, it's a sad thing, is what it is.
Why is it sad? I think I believe a little bit in survival, and there are going to be people out there that try very hard to, I guess, maybe bend the rules or not follow the rules because it's not convenient to them. And then when you get this COVID, which I'm going to tell you right now, I was completely shocked that these programs even came out.
Me too.
Okay, very shocked. And I had conversations with Jim. I totally was going to jump on the PPE bandwagon. And I told Terry, I said, you know, I'm not going to get into conspiracy theories, but, you know, after 20 years in the military, I don't trust government. And I knew that somewhere along the line, something bad was going to happen. And I had the worst luck. So we decided to weather the storm with our savings and what we had. And we managed, you know, there were some ups and downs, but we managed. But I just feel that those people that did not play by the rules before this happened got caught with their pants down, and they should not get a seat at the table. But people like Jim that has been working hard to try and make a legitimate business should have that opportunity.
Yeah. Well, and the funny thing about it is, it's only the people who play by the rules that can end up in the pro game, right? Because when all else is stripped away, I'm just saying, people who haven't been playing by the rules, if there's a shutdown, they don't have access to these funds to quote unquote stay in business. The legitimate businesses that are left are looking for the gyms,
right?
Right, the gym sellers. So who's left? Only the legitimate ones.
That is exactly true. Yes.
Only the ones who've been playing by the rules. So who are you going to hire? Definitely not the street kids.
Yes, absolutely. Wow. That's some truth right there. That's hashtag truth.
Are we at an hour?
Yeah, how about that? How about that, Rhonda? That was a whole hour of conversation.
Oh, my God. That is amazing. I mean, I was totally into this whole thing.
I think it was great. All right, Rhonda, well, let's go ahead and wrap it up. And we really appreciate your time and sharing your information with us. Let our listeners know how they can find you.
Well, you can find me. You can go to my website at gobizconcept.com, or you can find me on Facebook, National Business Concepts, or National Business Consultants on Facebook. And we can assist you in any way we can. And or you can call our office number at 405-996-1559. Thank you guys for having me on tonight.
Oh, that's awesome. Now, do you have any workshops or anything coming up or any seminars where people can follow you and get some more information?
Yes, please follow on our website for our upcoming workshops, or visit us on our Facebook page. It's National Business Concepts, and we will have some upcoming workshop that you could plug into to learn more about really starting and running a business and all about money matters.
I like that. How to start and run a profitable, healthy business with Rhonda.
Rhonda Thomas.
And she's got to change her name.
Why is that?
Well, it just says national. I feel like she's international.
Oh, yeah.
International Business Concepts. Because your profit should share the world.
Oh, wow, that's good.
So I just have to lift Rhonda up a little bit, pat her on the back, because she's also the founder of Single Parent Support Network. Yeah. I didn't know if you wanted to put that out there.
Oh, no. Okay, absolutely. Well, make sure you give me the link later on. We'll throw that baby in there.
I will.
I thought you were going to say that she was the founder of, like, you know, single hot CPAs or something, and it's a new dating app. If you're bad in business and looking for some loving, swipe left, get a CPA, and home cooked meal.
No, that's the other chick.
That's the other one. I'm sorry. That must be Leslie. Oh, my God. Well, thank you so much. Stay on the line real quick while we go ahead and sign off, and we'll say goodbye to you. But say goodbye to our listeners, Rhonda.
Hey, goodbye for now. Reach out to us if we can assist you in any way. You guys have a great, great day.
Perfect. Thank you so much. All right, Jim, we're out of here?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right.
Hey, thanks for listening. You can find Jim at jimfelder.com and Robert at treywickimages.com. Send us an email at twins@photofaxpodcast.com or voicemail at 405-585-6337.
Check out our YouTube PhotoFax channel for weekly tips and tricks. Visit our Facebook page for news and discussion. Please help others find this podcast by reviewing us on iTunes. We really appreciate your support.